Blog Talk Radio.
Again, it's been a couple weeks, and as I work on the technology end of things, we're going to keep on trying. So eventually we should get to the point where things run very smoothly here on Perinatal Ponderings. All right, welcome. So this is the big episode number 4. And if you've been listening in to the other episodes, you'll know that I am technologically challenged as I'm sorting out this podcast thing. Welcome to Perinatal Ponderings with Winona. That is me. So who am I? Oh, that is a big question that, you know, it really takes a lifetime to figure that out. I'm a mom to 5 wonderful children and a grandma to 4 wonderful grandchildren. And being a mother is probably my number one. I'm also a wife, so that's also number one. But being a mother is, of course, one of the most important things in my life and something that I have been working on for over 30 years. And if you think your learning and growing as a mother ever ends, it really doesn't, because as your children go through their phases of life, you're going through your phases of life as a mother and a woman. Being kind of a product of the 70s and the 80s, of course, we talk a lot about the supermom. She can do it all, this mother. And so trying to figure all that stuff out has been quite a pursuit, for sure. I've spent the majority of our married life and mothering life as a stay-at-home mom with all sorts of odd jobs in between, both home businesses as well as working outside the home. So I really have a range of experiences when it comes to those dilemmas that we bump up against about do we work in the home or do we not. That actually wasn't my topic. So interesting that I have kind of started with that. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. I wanted to talk a little bit about dance competitions. Well, there's a mom thing. And how on earth do I link all the time thinking about different things to birth? And so how on earth does dance relate to birth? Does my weekend away with my daughter relate to birth? You know, all sorts of things. And then I was also thinking about the coronation of King Charles. Everyone, of course, has an opinion on that, but I just have some thoughts on that ceremony and birth. And then I've been thinking quite a bit over the last few weeks about ethics, trauma care, ethics in caregiving, ethics in our lives, and what does that mean for people? And this is part of my school. Training that I offer for a perinatal and infant support specialist, and that is through, of course, North Star Perinatal Center. And part of our training is talking about ethics and caring. And what does that mean? And how do we kind of build those things both into our practice as support specialists and caregivers, as well as our personal lives, because when we are supporting women through the perinatal year, it really is about our own personal convictions, our personal beliefs, our knowledge, and how we are mentoring and walking on this journey with the women we serve. And our special highlighted herb of the week is marshmallow root, or mellow. And it has been my favorite herb last week, as I am dealing with seasonal allergies, hooray, hooray, sore throat, cough, all the fun things that those of us who are allergic to nature get to deal with. And so those are all things that we are going to talk about today. So I'm going to start on the street. And while I was up at the dance festival, oh man, it was such a nice day. Well, the whole time it was nice, but the one day was especially nice. And so I went out and I sat with my coffee on the street, and I just was listening. And so some of the things, you know, when you're in a city and you hear the cars go by, you hear people talking, you hear music. There was someone playing guitar there on the corner, singing. And so it was just nice to go outside with the busyness of the dance and think. And as I was sitting out there, I often tell moms that you could do anything for a minute, because that's usually how long those contractions are. They're about a minute long. And so you can breathe through that. You can allow your body to experience that. But sometimes we have outside distractions. Depending where we are, we might hear cars or vehicles. We might hear people talking, things that might bring us out of those moments that we have during the birth process. And so I was thinking about being able to be in different situations and to breathe and just to sit in the moment. So I always encourage people just practice that, build in this practice where you can just be completely in the moment and not concerned about what's going to happen next or about your grocery list or whatever else. And especially for pregnant women who are looking towards the birth process, the end of this part of their journey, and just build in those practices. It's very important to consider that emotional and mental component of the birth process, where things will distract you and thoughts will come into your mind, and how can you be completely in the moment? So that's what I was doing, sitting out on the street corner in Saskatoon, thinking about that. And then on the inside of the building, we had all sorts of other stuff going on. Oh, sorry. That one. We had girls, young ladies, a few young gentlemen out there on the stage just dancing their hearts out. And we had people in the audience cheering them on. We had backstage the coaches, the teachers, the stage staff. We just had all sorts of support people putting on this very well put together, I may say, dance competition. Walking backstage, you could see the excitement and sometimes the tears, all the emotions that go into dancing. And so as I'm thinking about dancing, you know, one thing I'm thinking about is the movement, just amazing to see how your body can move, and especially with the dances that were very much on beat, that moved to the music, and how these amazing people who were doing the dances could really keep on top of the beat. And the man, some of the positions that these people put their bodies into, like, what? And so I was thinking, you know, well, it's so important. One, you know, on top of nutrition, movement is so important for the pregnant woman, and so important during the birth process. Being able to let your body go and move into the positions that it needs to be, that there's this dance that mom and baby are doing during this process, that our bodies, it's the birth dance is an instinctual, right? You don't have to study dance for years to be able to do this. It's just this instinctual movements that each mom and baby do together. And it's really unique for each mother-baby dyad. The connection that you have with your baby in the womb, that you're going to move into the positions, you're going to sway your hips, you're going to do the things, you're going to moan, you're going to move your arms, you're going to do all these things instinctively with your baby. And behind you and around you, there should be the people cheering you on, encouraging you, telling you, you are doing awesome, right? There's the people that are there to hug you and to hold you and to love you through this process as you experience all the emotions. And that's a big thing with movement and music, is we are so moved, right, by different pieces of music. And the hip-hop music, you know, that makes us just want to get down there and be powerful and move to that music. And then the wonderful classical music of the ballerinas, and how it just makes you so emotional and makes you want to sway and move and just embrace it all. And then you have some of the contemporary music that really has a powerful message. And so it's so important and can be very much applied to the woman in the birth process. And so during pregnancy, find that music that talks to you. Find music that has a good beat, that just, it's nice to have like drum music, something that you can really connect with. And find your dance. Find your dance. You know, when you watch little kids and you play a song for them, they just move, right? There's no right way to do it, because our bodies are all made to move and to connect with the music. And so I really encourage moms and women in general, we need to move. And you'll see that throughout so many different cultures. When we are celebrating something, there's always music and dance. And that is what birth is all about. It's about celebrating. Wow, look at what we've done. Look at what we've created and made. And now we're going to get to meet face-to-face our little person that we made. So that's what I was thinking about as I'm at a dance competition. I'm probably the only one thinking about that there. But it always like makes me so happy and grateful when I see performers, but also all the people behind the scenes that have supported them, that have encouraged them, that have helped them train. And that's really our role, those of us who are birth workers, who are support specialists, that is our role. We are mentoring. We are encouraging, right? We have some knowledge and wisdom that we bring to the table, but the people that we are supporting already have everything they need, right? We already know how to dance. And so we have all these components. So when you, if you are pregnant, if you are thinking about, you know, do I get a doula? Do I get a birth worker? Do I get a support specialist? Who do I need to support me in my dance, right? Who is going to be there to encourage me to, you know, say, oh, you know, if you just would move this way or that way, or how do you feel when you're moving that way? You know, here's some ideas for you. Or other women, other people have found that moving this way helps. So really take into consideration that it's important to have that support behind you. It really does make a difference. And consider kind of what your goals are. Consider who would, you know, be there to support them. Ask around, find out. And if you are someone who would love to be that support person, check out my training. selfless plug right there. We cover everything to be mother mentors, to be support specialists, to just be there and support the women and the babies and the families and really bringing out what they already know. So dance. I love it. I love it. Love watching the little tiny tots with their cute little tutus. Oh my gosh. So all the way to the amazing older dancers, and you could see the years of hard work and practice that they've put into it, and it really, really shows. So that was kind of my dance thoughts on dance. By the way, my daughter did wonderfully. We had a great weekend, and even got a little bit of shopping in. So good to spend time with your children, even when it's going to all these competitions, or if you got kids in hockey or whatever, you know, just take a few moments out of that busy schedule just to connect with your own child. All right. So then I'm wandering home from this dance competition. And, you know, I love Saskatchewan. I was born in Saskatchewan. We're kind of a unique province in that we have no, you know, ocean around us. We have tons of lakes. We even got trees, people. If you don't know anything about Saskatchewan, we do have trees and lakes. It's quite a vast province, but not a huge population. But I am allergic to it. So that, of course, led me to being sick, losing my voice, coughing. Thankfully, you know, we got a little bit of rain that kind of damped down that dust. And so I will talk about what herb helped me out. And it's interesting because with each sickness or illness, when we're down and out, really to have a lot of different options to choose from, because sometimes one thing will work better than the other. And so it's good to do these little experiments on yourself and say, okay, which one's going to work today? And we thankfully have lots of different herbal helpers out there. So this last weekend, many people, I would say millions of people around the world were tuned in as we welcomed a new monarch into our constitution, I suppose, King Charles. And whatever you may think of the monarchy, and we all have varying opinions. Of course, here in Canada, that we are still under the monarchy, in a sense. And so you will have people that are very much for having a king, and many people who are like, why do we still have a king? So my part of my family, anyway, my Nana was born in England. And I mainly have European roots. And so in my family, the queen and royalty has just been part, right, of who we are. And, of course, I remember growing up that we had pledged allegiance, or what did we do? Growing up, there's a picture of the queen and, you know, lots of reverence was given towards that. So how did I apply the ceremony of the coronation of the king? Okay, how does that relate to birth, I wonder? And I'm emotional, so I cried for most of watching the ceremony, because it was really King Charles's heritage, right? This is his family. And yeah, I know there's lots of craziness that happened in the past that we look back and be like, oh my gosh, here's how a bunch of bad things happen. But still, this was his heritage. Most of the things that were done, you know, or given or presented to him were, you know, his grandmas or his great grandparents or the first king in that line, and just a lot of ceremony around it. It's a Christian monarchy. And so, of course, there was lots of readings of scripture took place in the church. As the king, he's the head of the Church of England. And so lots of scripture read, which was really interesting to think about, you know, all the different leaders of different countries and their faith, and how they were invited. There was encouragement for King Charles to, of course, be the best, to remind him of who he was. To remind him what he was to do as the head of state or the head of the monarchy. You know, I'm not a politician. I don't know all the terms for everything. But if you're looking at him as a person, his son was there to honor him, and his son will, you know, might be a few decades, but it won't be long till his son is then king. And to see the kids that were in that line. And we all know that there's all sorts of stuff that goes on in royal families and in politics. But for a moment, there was peace. And everyone came together to support this new monarch. And, of course, he's an interesting character because the royal family is very much into homeopathics, into being good stewards of the environment, and having many charities and that sort of thing too. So it was just interesting to watch it. And I started thinking about ceremony and how do we celebrate a transition, right? Becoming someone new. He has been waiting and waited for over 70 years to fulfill this position. And I can't imagine what that would be like to have that very long wait. That noise in the background, by the way, is my dog having a drink. This mic is picks up lots of things. I guess he just decided to be thirsty right now. So how do we celebrate these transitions? And part of what we do, we as in birth workers, support specialists, those who support women through this transitional phase of becoming a mother, one of the things we do is celebrate. We validate that they are becoming a new person. You really are. You know, before you become a mother and after you become a mother are two very distinct things. So how do we celebrate that and create ceremony around that? Robbie Davis's Floyd's book, Birth is a Rite of Passage, is a really excellent read about the ceremony and culture in the medical system. A lot of the things that are done, yeah, they may be technology-based, but they are really about initiating women into a certain pathway. And so we have to kind of think about how are we helping mothers transition into motherhood. And with each kid, it's a new transition, right? The second kid is a whole other ballgame. Having a third child is a whole different kettle of fish. Having a child in your 20s is so different than having a child in your 30s or your 40s. And so how are we helping moms? How are we reminding them that here they have a lineage, they have generations, of course, of women before them that have brought them to this place, that they've landed here? How do we honor that heritage and honor those things that have happened? Of course, we all know we're here because someone birthed us. That's about the only way to come into this world. So how do we remind women of that, you know, we come from women, and we're going to birth. So how do we celebrate that past, that history, and honor those, right? And in many parts of the world, that does happen. There is ceremony for women having babies. And in our culture, we've changed it up a bit. We maybe have baby showers, which is really about the baby, not necessarily the mother. The mother is not encouraged, but sometimes disheartened in these little ceremonies we have that, oh man, it's going to be rough. Oh, I had the worst time, right? And so we need to, hopefully that's changing with mother blessings. And we're blessing the mother instead of scaring the mother. So just think about that as you're going through. Create a little space for yourself where you can put things that are going to remind you and encourage you that yes, we can do this. The majority of women can just birth and don't necessarily need anyone doing anything to them in order for that to happen. So, you know, bring something from the past, but also consider the future. You know, who are you as mother? What is that going to look like? What you do prenatally, what you do through the birth process, what happens postpartum? is going to affect your child for life and your grandchildren and that whole line, right? It may feel like, oh, wow, but no, that's way too big of a responsibility, but that's okay. We can handle it. We are women. So we need to find, again, those people that, you know, I think of the King Charles's coronation and the people that made it possible. I can't imagine the people planning that. But just the different groups that were involved, you know, the coordination of all the different militaries and the religious part of it and all the people who did that to support him. So gather your people. Find the people that can help you create ceremony, that will celebrate with you, that will motivate you, that will validate you. Find those people. If you can't, then maybe this is that opportunity to see, do something different for yourself, you know, and to bring that internal validation to the front. And so pregnancy is a really good time to maybe work on some things that we've been neglecting in ourselves, to remind ourselves that we have the capability to do this. So a really important thing to think about. And when we have ceremonies like this coronation, it reminds us of people, that there is bigger things in the world, that there is things that can happen that we can apply to our own journey. I mean, the ride in the carriages and the horses, I just love that, of course, that horses are still involved in all these celebrations. And the music, right? There was music there, majestic, beautiful music. They had one of the songs was done in Welsh by this beautiful Welsh singer. He was, it just moved you. You could feel it. So again, there we have music that moves us. Okay, moving on. So there's a few different, right? The dance celebrations and coronation celebrations. Really important in our lives to find those opportunities to celebrate. build that into your pregnancy. You made it through the first trimester. Sometimes that's like the craziest one, because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. I'm excited I'm pregnant. I'm nervous I'm pregnant. Oh my, I'm so sick. Well, I'm, right? So the first trimester is just a whole bunch of changes happening. And oftentimes, especially working women, they don't stop and savor those moments in the early pregnancy. So take time to celebrate your milestones, right? And your baby's milestones, like, woohoo, today, maybe he had it, his ear was made, and now he can start hearing all the things I'm telling him. And so really early on, babies can hear and can feel. And so, yeah, celebrate with your baby. So then that leads me to a big topic that I've been thinking about, which is ethics. And what does that mean? So I'm just going to spend a couple minutes on it. But again, this is one of the sections in my course is about ethics and caring. And even though it's kind of one little section, we talk about it throughout the whole course, because everything really relates to our own personal beliefs and our own ethics, but sometimes that clashes with other people's ethics, maybe with the medical system ethics in particular. And really to start thinking about that as you begin to serve women, and your own personal ethics as you are making choices and decisions for your baby, for your family, for your birth. What are those based on? So ethics really are about how we relate to others. It's about how we try to become good people, how we shape our for ourselves a life that is worth living. It's about our positive goals and directions we set for our lives. So ethics really is a big thing. And maybe you don't particularly think about specifically the word ethics, but that's really kind of how we live our lives, right? Like what's important to us, the choices we make, and what perspective are we giving that? And so if you're coming from a Christian perspective, of course, you're thinking about how can we live a life that promotes and supports and what we believe? How can we integrate that with our ethics? You know, it means living in harmony. It means we may give things up, right, to support other people. The choices we make will shape our lives, and we're all looking to have a good life. You know, what does that mean for us to have that good life? What are our morals, right? Our morals, the practices and beliefs which we live are applied to our ethics. What are our goals and rules in ethics? So ethics can apply to our way of life, our vocation, right? Often birth workers will talk, this isn't a profession, it's a vocation. It's something that we believe deeply in. It's part of our life. You know, you don't step out and go to an office and do your work. This is part of who we are. This is our life, right? Our calling, even. we feel that we have stewardship over this realm, I guess you could say, of women and birth and babies. And so how do we use our gifts and our talents? So these are all things that we think about when we have ethics. And if you're looking at psychology, if you're looking at different aspects, like who comes up with ethics? Who kind of figures that out? And you know what? It's a big discussion, and not everyone agrees on it. Some ethics, when you're looking at professions, is rules, right? So the rules that we make, which are specific standards of conduct. Here's the rules if you're in this profession. The rules that we make need to follow, right? And some people follow them to the letter, and there can't be any give on it. And then we also have our principles, which are the broader guidelines on which the rules are based. So it's not ever cut and dry with this kind of thing. It won't give us just simple rules that apply to every situation, right? Because we're humans. Human life isn't simple. The decisions that people have to make are too complicated and are very individual. And so usually we develop this set of rules that, you know, do not murder is a rule that we all have agreed to follow. Yes, I still have a bit of a cough. Excuse me. All sorts of different professional groups have a code of ethics that help to set down the rules for the people in that profession to follow when they deal with each other or with the people they're serving. Usually it's just general principles by which the rules are interpreted. And, you know, most of our modern laws, our modern systems, constitutional law, our democratic governments are part of this rules. And so there's kind of, you know, what we follow in that sense with that. But there's different kinds of ethics also, right? There's not just one way. And so I have a little reading here. And this is just a couple. I just have someone calling in to say they can't hear me. So I'm not sure what's happened here. I need to turn up the volume. All right. Listener, can you let me know if you can hear me now? Hopefully that will work. All right. It will be recorded, so I can listen back to on the recording if this is working. I may kind of moved away from the mic, so that might have been it too. I don't have anything else going on that would prevent that. So, I'm back. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to just read a couple of little paragraphs, little quotes from a book. It's called The Ethics of Caring, and it's by Kylie Taylor. So from this perspective, what I am thinking about, of course, is the birth supporters and who and what we do when we're considering ethics. And really, we think a lot about this. We really do. And each individual kind of maybe borrows from another organization or from people they align with on what their ethics are going to be. And we present this to the people we serve. Here's my beliefs. Here's how I'm going to practice. We're going to build trust. You know, we're going to build all these things in. And so this is, we're going to build relationships. And that's really important because, lost the quote I was going to start with. But one of the things is that we as women, so women supporting women, women have different ways to get to relationships. And so the women's way, the wise woman's way, the way that we enter into relationships is a little different than how males approach it. And that's fine because we need both perspectives. But when we're building a relationship with another person, when it comes to supporting them through the perinatal year, it's going to look a little different, and we really need to build bonds there. So this is a bit from The Ethic of Relationship, and it's about a guy, a missionary actually, a medical missionary called Albert Schweitzer. We watched a documentary on him a little while ago. I can't remember what the name of that was, but it was interesting to see his life and all the things that he did, and really remembering his foundations, his beliefs, and everything he did was really built on his ethics. This ethical behavior that he came up with, he didn't come up with it, but he put down into words, the reverence for life was his thing. If you Google him, I'm sure you'll find more on him. It's also in different belief systems. Buddhism, for example, uses the concept of right relationship. So it's reverence for life. So Schweitzer was famous So his name's Albert Schweitzer. Schweitzer was famous for the philosophy he practiced in every detail of daily living called Reverence for Life. He describes what he meant in a sermon that he delivered in 1919. Not new stuff, right? This is foundational human things, philosophy and beliefs. And he said, I cannot but have reverence for all that is called life. That is the beginning and foundation of morality. Once a man has experienced it and continues to do so, and he who was once experienced it will continue to do so, is ethical. He carries his morality within him and can never lose it, for it continues to develop within him. He who has never experienced this has only a set of superficial principles. These theories have no root in him. They do not belong to him, and they fall off him. His reverence for life contains the implicit acknowledgement of relationship, which he verbalized as he accepted the Nobel Prize for Peace in 1952. You do not live in a world all alone. Your brothers are here too. The Buddhist concept of right relationship is akin to Jesus's injunction, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It implies that we see the bigger picture of how our intention and actions in relationship affect the other, and how that, in turn, affects still others in a rippling outward motion. It implies that we see also the effects on ourselves when we take certain actions towards others. In this definition, the concept of others applies to persons and animals, but also to plants, ecosystem, planets, and numinous archetypes. Here then is my definition for ethical behavior, which underlies what I've written in this book. Ethical behavior is reverence for life demonstrated by right relationship to another. So again, that's a little quote from The Ethics of Caring by Kylie Taylor. And so we have, as you see, we have different descriptions of what ethics is, right? It's the choices we make to have a good life. It can be rules. It's about relationship. It's a holistic perspective of life, how we view things. And, you know, how those of us who are serving other women and women, right, how we serve our families as mothers is all rooted in these deep beliefs on how we view life and hopefully have that reverence for life. And sometimes our beliefs, our ethical beliefs, our moral beliefs, how we structure our life will clash with other systems. And so we have to, you know, build up that resilience in ourselves to kind of face that. Okay, I'm actually doing two little quotes from books today. As we are serving other women, we're mentoring them, right? Mother mentors, really, is what we're doing. But I just want to read a little bit about Tao mentoring, which I find really explains how we're doing things. So I'm going to read a little bit from Tao mentoring, which, let's see if I can pronounce the author's name, Cheng Liang, Al Hung, and Jerry Lynch. I can read that one. And this is Virtues of the Heart. So my training, of course, what I encourage women as they are supporting women is to do it from the heart. So the cultivation of Tao mentoring process begins with developing and nurturing the virtues of the heart. The Chinese describe virtues with this popular saying, those who follow the Tao with truth and fulfillment in their hearts are indeed virtuous. Heart in Chinese implies mind, heart, and consciousness. Oh, there we are again. Holistic. The symbol evokes the flowering center of the living force of nature and unfolding of human nature as well. Mentoring requires us to open deeply to our pure and innocent nature, with all of our joys, sorrows, limitation, and possibilities. These Tao virtues require the courage to be soft and gentle, which paradoxically makes us strong in our mentoring relationships. Ancient universal qualities such as trust, kindness, patience, mindfulness, simplicity, humility, honesty, and others enable us to go beyond the hardness and blockages of the heart and strengthen the bond and connectedness of the mentoring relationship. By being true to the heart, we support and encourage our journey, our attempts to make sense of what we do and how we do it in all our partnerships. When thinking about our most successful and worthwhile experiences in life, we find that they are the ones that were created in the spirit of love with the voice of the heart. Just love that, right? So when we're thinking of ethics, it's our relationship, our heart relationship, right? And when our heart is right, when we have coherence, as it's called, between the heart and the mind, we find our sweet spot, you could say. So I really want you to think about that in your life as mother and as serving other women. And if you are pregnant, find someone that helps you connect to that. Find that mentor, that support person, because your work as a woman who is pregnant is heart work, right? I was telling someone the other day, I'm like, yeah, the birth process can be hard work, but it's also heart work. And so I hope that gives you a little bit of encouragement and things to look for as you're going through. All right. So now we're going to discuss a little bit about this week's favorite herb. But before we do, I am going to play you a little clip of a song, and this is Serena Ryder. And man, when's the last time you heard that name? It's definitely not in the popular realm at the moment, I don't think. So this is Serena Ryder and Good Morning Starshine. Okay, good morning, Starshine. I thought that was a nice little encouraging song. All right, so as I have been dealing with my lovely immune system, I mean, it's been a lifelong thing, but I've really been enjoying over the last, I kind of started my herbal and holistic journey 30 plus years ago, but really over probably the last 8 years, I've started to really look into things more and study them more and use them for myself as I try and get away from pharmaceutical things like antibiotics and steroids and all those types of things and really nourish my body, do things that are nourishing and healing and creating wellness in my body. And so this week, I was quite frustrated because I knew that this was an allergy issue of the coughing. I could tell when it's like a lung issue versus a throat issue versus a sinus issue. Got to know my body quite well. I didn't do all the things that I normally do when it's bronchitis or that kind of thing. I knew it was allergies. So I thought I would work with marshmallow root this week, and I'm very thankful that I did. And that was kind of my main focus, and man, it was wonderful. And it helped. So I'm going to read you a little bit of information about marshmallow root. And there's different kind of mallows, of course. And so let me have a drink. This was a loose leaf that I used and steeped it in water, but there's different things you can use it for. So this is a flower. It flowers in August and September. Has a slight odor. It does not smell like marshmallows, so don't fool your taste buds into thinking it's like tastes like marshmallows. It's a helps with mucus. It's used to help actually with urinary issues also, so kind of top and bottom issues. It has a relaxing effect on the urinary passages. It helps urinary pain and good for coughs and bronchitis. It comes powdered or crushed or in leaves. The roots can make a poultice, which can help with inflammation. It can also be used for a wash for the eyes. It can be used even for hemorrhoids in a sitz bath. It can be used for colitis and ulcers, which reading through all the material is really the main usage for it. And then coughs and throats and stuff is the next usage for it. It's a very effective home remedy. You can make lozenges with it. And you can make lozenges. This book, Herbs and Things, Janine's Rose Herbal, also suggest mixing it with orange flower water that can be used to make it smell better. It's not horrible, but so that's marshmallow root. We also have for the childbearing year, we can use marshmallow root to make a poultice for pain when your breasts are painful. So you can make a compress and soak for first aid for painful breasts. So hot water alone can help stimulate circulation, but the herbs can increase the effectiveness. So using it 4 to 5 times a day for 3 to 5 minutes and consistently if you can. If there's an infection in the breasts, like use new materials afterwards. And if there's no infection, you can reuse it. So one thing you can do with it is you run a sink full of hot water and kind of bend, or you could put it in a bowl, hot water. Allow the milk to flow out, massage down from the back of the breast, which helps relieve engorgement. And then make the compresses or the poultices with the marshmallow root. So that's handy for that. Marshmallow root can soothe, of course, the intestines and the urinary tract. So when we're talking about allergies, coughs, lung issues, it's often a gut problem, right? So that's probably why it works so well, too, is it's addressing the gut. Also, for colitis or irritable bowel syndrome, you can make a tonic, and you can drink this tonic to help relax the bowels and reduce inflammation. You can look this up, so I'm just going to give you what's in it. So you can use black cohosh root, marshmallow root, cramp bark, chamomile flowers, shepherd's purse, and licorice root in this tonic. And you simmer it for about 20 minutes and then steep it and then drink half a cup as needed. So this would be one that I would not use during pregnancy, this tonic. This would be when you're not pregnant or postpartum. So you can make that with marshmallow root. Oh, yeah, disclaimer time. Just a reminder that this is not medical advice, and that if you, as an adult, can discern what's best for you, but if you want to seek further advice, I encourage you to go to your naturopath or herbalist, or if you feel you need to go seek medical, mainstream medical advice, then do that also. So I'm assuming you're adults, and we'll do your own research. So for coughs, you can take marshmallow root. You put it in 6 cups of cold water. Allow it to stand at room temperature for about an hour. Then bring it to a boil and simmer. Sweeten to taste. I like, of course, local honey to sweeten anything. Strain it and then put it... you can put in your mason jars, put it in your fridge, and then drink 1 cupful 3 times a day. So 2 to 3 cups. I find you don't want to do much more than that with this herb because it also, of course, stimulates your bowels so and your urinary tract. But this is what I have been doing this last week, and it has very much helped. So marshmallow root. Another good book is Mother Nature's Herbal by Judith Griffin. And speaking of coughs, I'm just going to read you one of the kind of our quote unquote textbooks. Well, not one of them. There's a series, and it's by Rachel Weaver called Be Your Own Doctor, Be Your Own Child's Pediatrician. We use these books in our course. And so speaking of cough, I want to give you one more recipe from that. And this is also an infusion. So this recipe for a cough from allergies, that kind of thing. And remember, coughing isn't bad. Of course, over the past few years, we have been just scared out of our wits over people coughing. But it's also getting things out and moving things, irritants out, and mucus. I tell ya, who knew that a human could hold so much mucus in their bodies? And my dad said, better out than in. So spit it out. Pretend you're a cowboy. Don't swallow that mucus, but it's productive. When it has mucus, so that's okay. That's your body is working to get everything out. But you can make tea from, of course, marshmallow. But another one is using mullein leaf tea. You can add some peppermint in, some honey, and also some hyssop and some comfrey. So hyssop's good. Some of the natural cough syrups and stuff have hyssop in it. So you can make an infusion from that and drink that several times throughout the day. So it's really about healing as you are getting better. And a lot of pregnant women, lactating women, of course, are nervous to take anything over the counter. And so thankfully we have these herbal helpers that we can rely on. So that is my marshmallow roots, my hero herb of the week. That was the one that worked. Okay, so we're about to the end of the program. I have a little poem I want to share with you. Hopefully this is an encouraging poem. And then we will... Oh, we didn't touch on the research today, but there is some awesome research that has come out for everything, inductions, continuous monitoring, Separating the cord, that has been quite the big topic in research. Next time maybe we'll cover a lot of the research, but I had too much on my mind this week, I guess. So this poem is by Cory Booker. And I use it to encourage not only women who are going into birth, but women, mothers, anybody, also men can also be encouraged. Just to remind yourself, right, who you are. Okay, and it has the word born in it. So here we go. You were not born to be average, normal, or typical. You were not born a carbon copy. You were born unique, born to excel, born to manifest the glory of the universe in your authentic truth. You are not weak. You are stronger than you imagine, wiser than you know, and have vast powers that you have yet to actualize. Playing small. Be you. Tell your truth now, today, this very moment. Manifest your true self, not a poor reflection of your circumstance. Don't walk through this world unconscious of your greatness. Sleepwalking, surrendering your light to the bland gray around you. You were born to be brilliant, to be light, to be fire. Infuse your glory into this moment, into your choices, into your deeds, into the habits you create. Consciously choose. Choose your body through conscious consumption. Choose your attitude through conscious thought. Choose your destiny by being present right now. For remember, mindful moments multiplied totally transform tomorrows. Today, choose integrity. Choose discipline. Choose joy. Choose joy. Choose joy. Rejoice in your blessings, and most importantly, know that everything is a blessing, and your blessings are rich soil. So choose to grow into the boldest, proudest, most glorious version of you. You were born for this. That's by Cory Booker. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you stayed on the trail as I wandered through the perinatal year, some of my thoughts. If you would like to know more about my support and services, you can find me at nurturingexpectations.com. If you want to know more about my training, education for parents and professionals, those who have a calling, I suppose, you can find me at northstarperinatalcenter.ca, and center spelled the Canadian way with an R-E. And feel free to message me. If you want to share a birth story or share a postpartum story or share a breastfeeding story or just want to chat, if you know of someone who would like to be a guest on the show or if you would like to share some of your knowledge and wisdom, definitely welcome you to send me a message. As I'm moving through this and getting myself a little more organized, I will be contacting people. I have a list that I would love to have guests on my show. And so if you have any comments or questions, definitely give me an email, send me a message on, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram are my two social media things. I'm not brave enough to branch out from there. So I hope that your Monday will be a blessing and that you can go and bless others. Bye for now.